when an A task is left undone. You should never be distracted by a tadpole when a big frog is sitting there waiting to be eaten. A C task is defined as something that would be nice to do, but for which there are no consequences at all, whether you do it or not. C tasks include phoning a friend, having coffee or lunch with a coworker, and completing some personal business during work hours. These sorts of activities have no effect at all on your work life. A D task is defined as something you can delegate to someone else. The rule is that you should delegate everything that someone else can do so that you can free up more time for the A tasks that only you can do. An E task is defined as something that you can eliminate altogether, and it won't make any real difference. This may be a task that was important at one time, but is no longer relevant to you or anyone else. Often it's something that you continue to do out of habit or because you enjoy it. But every minute that you spend on an E task is time taken away from an A task or activity that can make a real difference in your life. After you've applied the A, B, C, D, E method to your list, you will be completely organized and ready to get more important things done faster. Take action immediately. The key to making this A, B, C, D, E method work is for you to now discipline yourself to start immediately on your A1 task and then stay at it until it's complete. Use your willpower to get going and stay going on this one job, the most important single task you could possibly be doing. Eat the whole frog and don't stop until it's finished completely. Your ability to think through and analyze your work list and determine your A1 task is the springboard to higher levels of accomplishment and greater self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. When you develop the habit of concentrating on your A1 most important activity, on eating your frog, you will start getting more done than any two or three people around you. Here are two exercises for you. Number one, review your work list right now and put an A, B, C, D, or E next to each task or activity. Select your A1 job or project and begin on it immediately. Discipline yourself to do nothing else until this one job is complete. Two, practice this A, B, C, D, E method every day for the next month on every work or project list before you begin. After a month, you will have developed the habit of setting and working on your highest priority tasks, and your future will be assured. Chapter 7. Focus on Key Result Areas. Norman Vincent Peale once said, "When every physical and mental resource is focused, one's power to solve a problem multiplies tremendously." Why am I on the payroll? This is one of the most important questions you can ever ask and answer over and over again throughout your career. As it happens, most people are not sure exactly why they are on the payroll. But if you're not crystal clear about why you're on the payroll and what results you've been hired to accomplish, it's very hard for you to perform at your best, get paid more, and get promoted faster. In simple terms, you have been hired to get specific results. A wage or a salary is a payment for a specific quality and quantity of work that can be combined with the work of others to create a product or service that customers are willing to pay for. Your job can be broken down into about 5 to 7 key result areas, seldom more. These represent the results that you absolutely, positively have to get to fulfill your responsibilities and make your maximum contribution to your organization. A key result area is defined as something for which you are completely responsible. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. A key result area is an activity that is under your control. It produces an output that becomes an input or a contributing factor to the work of others. Key result areas are similar to the vital functions of the body, such as those indicated by blood pressure, heart rate, respiratory rate, and brainwave activity. An absence of any one of these vital functions leads to the death of the organism. By the same token, your failure to perform in a critical result area of your work can lead to the end of your job as well. The Big Seven in management and sales. The key result areas of management are planning, organizing, staffing, delegating, supervising, measuring, and reporting. These are the areas in which a manager must get results to be successful in his or her area of responsibility. A weakness in any one of these areas can lead to underachievement and failure as a manager. The key result areas of sales are prospecting, building rapport and trust, identifying needs, presenting persuasively, answering objections, closing the sale, and getting resales and referrals. Poor performance in any one of these key skills can lead to lower sales and sometimes the failure of a salesperson. Whatever you do, you must have certain essential skills for you to do your job in an excellent fashion. These demands are constantly changing. You have already developed core competencies that make it possible for you to do your job in the first place, but certain key results are central to your work and determine your success or failure in your job. What are they? Clarity is essential. The starting point of high performance is for you to identify the key result areas of your work. Discuss them with your boss. Make a list of your most important output responsibilities and make sure that the people above you on the same level as you and below you are in agreement with it. For example, for a salesperson, getting qualified appointments is a key result area. This activity is the key to the entire sales process. Closing a sale is also a key result area. When the sale is made, it triggers the activities of many other people to produce and deliver the product or service. For a company owner or key executive, negotiating a bank loan may be a key result area. Hiring the right people and delegating effectively are both key result areas. For a receptionist or secretary, typing letters and answering the phone and transferring callers quickly and efficiently are defined as key result areas. People's ability to perform these tasks quickly and efficiently largely determines their pay and promotability. Give yourself a grade. Once you have determined your key result areas, the second step is for you to grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, in each of these key areas. Where are you strong and where are you weak? Where are you getting excellent results and where are you underperforming? Rule: your weakest key result area sets the height at which you can use all your other skills and abilities. This rule says that although you could be exceptional in 6 out of 7 key result areas, poor performance in the 7th area will hold you back and determine how much you achieve with all your other skills. This weakness will act as a drag on your effectiveness and be a constant source of friction and frustration. For example, delegating is a key result area for a manager. This skill is the key leverage point that enables a manager to manage and get results through others. A manager who cannot delegate properly is held back from using all his or her other skills at the maximum levels of effectiveness. Poor delegation skills alone can lead to failure in the job. Poor performance produces procrastination. One of the major reasons for procrastination in the workplace is that people avoid jobs and activities in those areas where they have performed poorly in the past. Instead of setting a goal and making a plan to improve in a particular area, most people avoid that area altogether, which just makes the situation worse. The reverse of this is that the better you become in a particular skill area, the more motivated you will be to perform that function, the less you will procrastinate, and the more determined you will be to get the job finished. The fact is that everybody has both strengths and weaknesses. Refuse to rationalize, justify, or defend your areas of weakness. Instead, identify them clearly. Set a goal and make a plan to become very good in each of those areas. Just think, you may be only one critical skill away from top performance at your job. The great question. Here's one of the greatest questions you will ever ask and answer. What one skill, if I developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on my career? You should use this question to guide your career for the rest of your life. Look into yourself for the answer. You probably already know what it is. Ask your boss this question. Ask your coworkers. Ask your friends and your family. Whatever the answer is, go to work to bring up your performance in this area. The good news is that all business skills are learnable. If anyone else is excellent in that particular key result area, this is proof that you can become excellent as well if you decide to. One of the fastest and best ways to stop procrastinating and get more things done faster is for you to become absolutely excellent in your key result areas. This can be as important as anything else you do in your life or career. Now here are two exercises for you. Number one, identify the key result areas of your work. What are they? Write down the key results that you have to get to do your job in an excellent fashion. Give yourself a grade from 1 to 10 on each one. And then determine the one key skill that if you did it in an excellent manner would help you the most in your work. Number two is take this list to your boss and discuss it with him or her. Invite honest feedback and appraisal. You can only get better when you're open to the constructive input of other people. Discuss your conclusions with your staff and coworkers. Talk them over with your spouse. Make a habit of doing this analysis regularly for the rest of your career. Never stop improving. This decision alone can change your life. Chapter 8. Apply the Law of Three. Theodore Roosevelt wrote, "Do what you can with what you have, where you are." This is one of the great time management principles of all. Three core tasks that you perform contain most of the value that you contribute to your business or organization. Your ability to accurately identify these three key tasks and then to focus on them most of the time is essential for you to perform at your best. Let me tell you a true story. 3 months after her first full-day coaching session with me in San Diego, Cynthia told the group a story. She said, "When I came here 90 days ago, you claimed that you would show me how to double my income and my time off within 12 months. This sounded completely unrealistic, but I was willing to give it a try. On the very first day, you asked me to write down a list of everything that I did over the course of a week or a month. I came up with 17 tasks that I was responsible for. My problem was that I was completely overwhelmed with work. I was working 10 to 12 hours per day, 6 days per week, and not spending enough time with my husband and my two young children. But I didn't see any way out. I had been working for 8 years for a fast-growing entrepreneurial company in the high-tech area, but there always seemed to be an overwhelming amount of work to do and never enough time. One thing all day long." She continued with her story. "Once I had made this list, you told me to ask this question. If you could only do one thing on this list all day long, which one task would contribute the greatest value to your company? Once I had identified that task, which was quite easy, I put a circle around that number. You then asked, if you could only do one more task on your list of key tasks, what would be the second activity that contributes the very most value to your company? Once I had identified the second most important task, you asked me the same question with regard to the third most important task. You then said something that shocked me at the time. You said that fully 90% of the value that you contribute to your company is contained in those three tasks, whatever they are. Everything else you do is either a support task or a complementary task that could probably be delegated, downsized, outsourced, or eliminated. Take immediate action." Cynthia continued with her story. "As I looked at the three tasks, I realized that these were the three things that I did that contributed the most value to my company. This was on a Friday. On Monday morning at 10 o'clock, I met with my boss and explained what I had discovered. I said that I needed his help in delegating and outsourcing all my work except those three key tasks. I felt that if I could work on those three tasks exclusively all day long, I could more than double my contribution to the company. Then I told him that if I doubled my contribution, I would like to be paid twice as much." She said my boss was completely silent. He looked at my list of key tasks, looked back up at me, and looked at the list again. He then said, "You're right. These are the three most important things that you do in this company, and the three things that you do best. I will help you to delegate and outsource all these minor tasks to free you up to work full-time on these three key tasks. And if you double your contribution, I will pay you twice as much." Transform your life. Cynthia concluded her story by saying, "He did, and then I did, and then he did. He helped me to delegate and assign all my minor tasks so I could concentrate on my top three jobs. As a result, I doubled my output over the next 30 days, and he doubled my income. I had been working very hard for more than 8 years, and I doubled my income in just 1 month by focusing all my time and energy on my three key tasks. Not only that, but instead of working 10 and 12-hour days, I work from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock and spend time in the evenings and on the weekends with my husband and my children. Focusing on my key tasks has transformed my life." Perhaps the most important word in the world of work is contribution. Your rewards, both financial and emotional, will always be in direct proportion to your results, to the value of your contribution. If you want to increase your rewards, you must focus on increasing the value of what you do. You must dedicate yourself to contributing more results to your company. And three key tasks always contribute the most. The quick list method. Here's an exercise that we use with our coaching clients very early in the process. We give them a sheet of paper and then tell them, in 30 seconds, write down your three most important goals in life right now. We have found that when people have only 30 seconds to write down their three most important goals, their answers are as accurate as if they had 30 minutes or 3 hours. Their subconscious minds seem to go into hyperdrive, and the three most important goals just pop out of their heads and onto the paper, often to the surprise of the people doing the exercise. In 80% or more of cases, people have three goals in common: a financial and career goal, a second, a family or personal relationship goal, and third, a health or fitness goal. And this is as it should be. These are the three most important areas of life. If you give yourself a grade on a scale of 1 to 10 in each of these three areas, you can immediately identify where you're doing well in life and where you need some improvement. Try it yourself and see. Give this exercise to your spouse and your children. The answers can be quite revealing. Later in our coaching program, we expand this exercise by asking the following questions. Number 1, what are your three most important business or career goals right now? Number 2, what are your three most important family or relationship goals right now? Number 3, what are your three most important financial goals right now? Number 4, what are your three most important health goals right now? Number 5, what are your three most important personal and professional development goals right now? Number 6, what are your three most important social and community goals right now? And number 7, what are your three biggest problems or concerns in life right now? When you force yourself to ask and answer each of these questions in 30 seconds or less, you'll be amazed at the answers. Whatever your answers, they will usually be an accurate snapshot of your true situation in life at the moment. These answers will tell you what is really important to you. While you're setting goals and priorities, getting organized, concentrating single-mindedly on one task at a time, and disciplining yourself to complete your most important tasks, you must never forget that your ultimate goal is to live a long, happy, and healthy life. Time management is a means to an end. The main reason to develop time management skills is so that you can complete everything that's really important in your work and free up more and more time to do the things in your personal life that give you the greatest happiness and satisfaction. Fully 85% of your happiness in life will come from happy relationships with other people, especially those closest to you, as well as the members of your family. The critical determinant of the quality of your relationships is the amount of time that you spend face-to-face with the people you love and who love you in return. The purpose of time management, of eating that frog and getting more done in less time, is to enable you to spend more face time with the people you care about, doing the things that give you the greatest amount of joy in life. Rule, it is the quality of time at work that counts, and the quantity of time at home that matters. Work all the time you work. To keep your life in balance, you should resolve to work all the time you work. When you go to work, put your head down and work the whole time. Start a little earlier. Stay a little later and work a little harder. Don't waste time. Every minute that you spend in idle chit-chat with coworkers or playing with your email is time taken away from the work that you must accomplish if you want to do well at your job. Even worse, time that you waste at work often has to be taken away from your family. You have to either stay late or take work home and work in the evenings. By not working effectively and efficiently during your workday, you create unnecessary stress and deprive the members of your family of the very best person that you can possibly be. Balance is not optional. One of the most famous sayings of the ancient Greeks is, "Moderation in all things." You need balance between your work and your personal life. You need to set priorities at work and concentrate on your most valuable tasks. At the same time, you must never lose sight of the fact that the reason for working efficiently is so that you can enjoy a higher quality of life at home with your family. Sometimes people come up to me and ask, "How do I achieve balance between my work and my home life?" I ask them in return, "How often does a tightrope walker balance when on the high wire?" After a few seconds of thinking, they almost always say, "All the time." I said, "That's the same situation with balance between work and home life. You have to do it all the time. You never reach a point where you have attained it perfectly. You have to work at it." Your goal should be to perform at your very best at work, to get the very most done, and enjoy the very highest level of rewards possible for you in your career. Simultaneously, you must always remember to smell the roses along the way. Never lose sight of the real reasons why you work as hard as you do and why you are so determined to accomplish the very most with the time that you invest. The more time you spend face to face with the people you love, the happier you will be. Now, here are two exercises for you. Number one, determine the three most important tasks that you do in your work. Ask yourself, if I could only do one thing all day long, which one task would contribute the greatest value to my career? Do this exercise two more times. Once you have developed your big three, concentrate on them single-mindedly all day long. Number two, identify your three most important goals in each area of your life. Organize them by priority. Make plans for their accomplishment and work on your plans every single day. You'll be amazed at what you achieve in the months and years ahead. Chapter 9. Prepare thoroughly before you begin. James T. McKay once wrote, "No matter what the level of your ability, you have more potential than you can ever develop in a lifetime." One of the best ways for you to overcome procrastination and get more things done faster is to have everything you need at hand before you begin. When you are fully prepared, you are like a cocked gun or an archer with an arrow pulled back taut in the bow. You'll be amazed at what you can achieve in the months and years ahead. You just need one small mental push to get started on your highest value tasks. This is like getting everything ready to prepare a complete meal. You set all the ingredients out on the counter in front of you and then begin putting the meal together one step at a time. Begin by clearing off your desk or workspace so that you have only one task in front of you. If necessary, put everything else on the floor or on a table behind you. Gather all the information, reports, and details, papers, and work materials that you will require to complete the job. Have them at hand so that you can reach them without getting up or moving around. Be sure that you have all the writing materials, login information, access codes, email addresses, and everything else you need to start working and continue working until the job is done. Set up your work area so that it is comfortable, attractive, and conducive to working for long periods. Especially, Make sure that you have a comfortable chair that supports your back and allows your feet to rest flat on the floor. Create a comfortable workspace. The most productive people take the time to create a work area where they enjoy spending time. The cleaner and neater you organize your work area before you begin, the easier it will be for you to get started and keep going. When everything is laid out neatly and in sequence, you'll feel much more like getting on with the job. It's amazing how many books never get written, how many degrees never get completed, how many life-changing tasks never get started because people fail to take the first step of preparing everything in advance. Launch toward your dreams. Once you have completed your preparations, it's essential that you launch immediately toward your goals. Get started. Do the first thing, whatever it is. My personal rule is get it 80% right and then correct it later. Run it up the flagpole and see if anyone salutes. Don't expect perfection the first time, or even the first few times. Be prepared to fail over and over before you get it right. Wayne Gretzky, the great hockey player, once said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take." Once you have completed your preparations, have the courage to take the first action, and everything else will follow from that. The way you develop the courage you need is to act as if you already had the courage and behave accordingly. Take the first step. When you sit down with everything in front of you, ready to go, assume the body language of high performance. Sit up straight, sit forward, and sit away from the back of your chair. Carry yourself as though you are an efficient, effective, high-performing personality. Then, pick up the first item and say to yourself, "Let's get to work," and plunge in. And once you've started, keep going until the job is finished. Now here are two exercises for you. Number one, take a good look at your desk or office, both at home and at work, and ask yourself, what kind of a person works in an environment like this? The cleaner and neater your work environment, the more positive, productive, and confident you will feel. Number two, resolve today to clean up your desk and office completely so that you feel effective, efficient, and ready to get going each time you sit down to work. Chapter 10. Take it one oil barrel at a time. Samuel Smiles wrote, "Persons with comparatively moderate powers will accomplish much if they apply themselves wholly and indefatigably to one thing at a time." There's an old saying that, by the yard, it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. One of the best ways to overcome procrastination is for you to get your mind off the huge task in front of you and focus on a single action that you can take. One of the best ways to eat a large frog is for you to take it one bite at a time. Lao Tzu wrote, "A journey of 1,000 leagues begins with a single step." This is a great strategy for overcoming procrastination and getting more things done faster. Crossing a great desert. Many years ago, driving an old Land Rover, I crossed the heart of the Sahara Desert, the Tenezrift, deep in modern-day Algeria. By that time, the desert had been abandoned by the French for years, and the original refueling stations were empty and shuttered. The desert was 500 miles across in a single stretch, without water, food, a blade of grass, or even a fly. It was totally flat, like a broad, yellow sand parking lot that stretched to the horizon in all directions. More than 1,300 people had perished in the crossing of that stretch of the Sahara in previous years. Often, drifting sands had obliterated the track across the desert, and the travelers had gotten lost in the night, never to be found again alive. To counter the lack of features in the terrain, the French had marked the track with black 55-gallon oil drums every 5 kilometers, which was exactly the distance to the horizon formed by the curvature of the earth. Because of this, in the daytime, we could always see 2 oil barrels, the one we had just passed and the one 5 kilometers ahead of it, and that was exactly what we needed to stay on course. All we had to do was steer for the next oil barrel. As a result, we were able to cross the biggest desert in the world by simply taking it one oil barrel at a time. Take it one step at a time. In the same way, you can accomplish the biggest task in your life by disciplining yourself to take it just one step at a time. Your job is to go as far as you can see. You will then be able to see far enough to go further. To accomplish a great task, you must step out in faith and have complete confidence that your next step will soon become clear to you. Remember this wonderful advice, leap, and the net will appear. A great life or a great career is built by performing one task at a time, quickly and well, and then going on to the next task. Financial independence is achieved by saving a little money every single month, year after year. Health and fitness are accomplished by just eating a little less and exercising a little more day after day and month after month. You can overcome procrastination and accomplish extraordinary things by taking just the first step, getting started towards your goal, and then taking it one step, one oil barrel at a time. Here are two exercises for you. Number one, select any goal, task, or project in your life on which you have been procrastinating, and make a list of all the steps you will have to take to eventually complete this task. Number two, then just take one step immediately. Sometimes all you need to do to get started is to sit down and complete one item on the list, and then do one more, and so on. You'll be amazed at what you eventually accomplish. Chapter 11. Upgrade Your Key Skills. The only certain means of success, according to Ogmandino, is to render more and better service than is expected of you, no matter what your task may be. Upgrading your skills is one of the most important personal productivity principles of all. Learn what you need to learn so that you can do your work in an excellent fashion. The better you become at eating a particular type of frog, the more likely you are to just plunge in and get it done. A major reason for procrastination is a feeling of inadequacy, a lack of confidence, or an inability in a key result area of a task. Feeling weak or deficient in a key area is enough to discourage you from starting the job at all. Continually upgrade your skills in your key result areas. Remember, however good you are today, your knowledge and skills are becoming obsolete at a rapid rate. As Pat Riley, the basketball coach, said, "Anytime you start striving to get better, you're bound to get worse." Never stop learning. One of the most helpful of all time management techniques is for you to get better at your key tasks. Personal and professional development is one of the best time savers that there is. The better you are at a key task, the more motivated you are to launch into it. The better you are, the more energy and enthusiasm you have. And when you know that you can do a job well, you find it easier to overcome procrastination and get the job done faster and better than under any other circumstances. One piece of information or one additional skill can make an enormous difference in your ability to do the job well. Identify the most important things you do and then make a plan to continually upgrade your skills in those areas. Rule: continuous learning is the minimum requirement for success in any field. Refuse to allow a weakness or a lack of ability in any area to hold you back. Everything is learnable, and what others have learned, you can learn as well. When I began to write my first book, I was discouraged because I could only use the Hunt and Peck method of typing. I soon realized that I had to learn to touch type if ever I was going to write and rewrite a 300-page book. So, I bought a touch typing program from my computer and practiced for 20 to 30 minutes every day for 3 months. By the end of that time, I was typing 40 to 50 words per minute. With this additional skill, I have been able to write more than 80 books that have now been published all over the world. The best news is that you can learn whatever skills you need to be more productive and more effective. You can become a touch typist if necessary. You can become proficient with a computer. You can become a terrific negotiator or a super salesperson. You can learn to speak in public. You can learn to write effectively and well. These are all skills that you can acquire as soon as you decide to, and make them a priority. 3 steps to mastery. First, read in your field for at least 1 hour every day. Get up a little earlier in the morning and read for 30 to 60 minutes in a book or magazine that contains information that can help you to be more effective and productive at what you do. Second, take every course and seminar available on the key skills that can help you. Attend the conventions and business meetings of your profession or occupation. Go to the sessions and workshops. Sit up front and take notes. Purchase the audio recordings of the programs. Dedicate yourself to becoming one of the most knowledgeable and competent people in your field. Third, listen to audio programs in your car. The average car owner sits behind the wheel 500 to 1,000 hours each year while driving from place to place. Turn driving time into learning time. You can become one of the smartest, most capable, and highest paid people in your field simply by listening to educational audio programs as you drive from place to place. The more you learn and know, the more confident and motivated you feel. The better you become, the more capable you will be of doing even more in your field. The more you learn, the more you can learn. Just as you can build your physical muscles through physical exercise, you can build your mental muscles with mental exercises. And there's no limit to how far or how fast you can advance, except for the limits you place on your own imagination. Here are 2 exercises for you. Number 1, identify the key skills that can help you the most to achieve better and faster results. Determine the core competencies that you will need to have in the future to lead your field. Whatever they are, set a goal, make a plan, and begin developing and increasing your ability in those areas. Decide to be the very best at what you do. Number 2, develop a personal plan to prepare yourself to do your most important tasks in an excellent fashion. Focus on those areas where you have special talents and that you most enjoy. This is the key to unlocking your personal potential. Chapter 12. Identify your key constraints. Concentrate all your thoughts on the task at hand. The sun's rays do not burn until brought to a focus. That was written by Alexander Graham Bell. Between where you are today and any goal or objective that you want to accomplish, there is one major constraint that must be overcome before you can achieve that major goal. Your job is to identify it clearly. What is holding you back? What sets the speed at which you achieve your goals? What determines how fast you move from where you are to where you want to go? What stops you or holds you back from eating the frogs that can really make a difference? Why aren't you at your goal already? These are some of the most important questions you'll ever ask and answer on your way to achieving high levels of personal productivity and effectiveness. Whatever you have to do, there's always a limiting factor that determines how quickly and well you get it done. Your job is to study the task and identify the limiting factor or constraint within it. You must then focus all of your energies on alleviating that single choke point. Identify the limiting factor. In virtually every task, large or small, a single factor sets the speed at which you achieve the goal or complete the job. What is it? Concentrate your mental energies on that one key area. This can be the most productive use of your time and talents. This constraint may be a person whose help or decision you need, a resource that you require, a weakness in some part of the organization, or something else. But the limiting factor is always there, and it's always your job to find it. For example, the purpose of a business is to create and keep customers. By doing this in sufficient quantities, the company makes a profit and continues to grow and flourish. Every business has a limiting factor or choke point that determines how quickly and well the company achieves this purpose. It may be the marketing, the level of sales, or the sales force itself. It may be the cost of operation or the methods of production. It may be the level of cash flow or costs. The success of the company may be determined by the competition, the customers, or the current marketplace. One of these factors, more than anything else, determines how quickly the company achieves its goals of growth and profitability. What is it for you? The accurate identification of the limiting factor in any process and the focus on that factor can usually bring about more progress in a shorter period of time than any other single activity. The 80-20 rule applied to constraints. The 80-20 rule also applies to the constraints in your life and in your work. This means that 80% of the constraints, the factors that are holding you back from achieving your goals, are internal. They are within you, within your own personal qualities, abilities, habits, and disciplines or competencies, or they are contained within your own company or organization. Only 20% of the limiting factors are external to you or to your organization. Only 20% are on the outside in the form of competition, markets, governments, or other organizations. Your key constraint can be something small and not particularly obvious. Sometimes you have to make a list of every step in a process and examine every activity to determine exactly what is holding you back. Sometimes a single negative perception or objection on the part of your customers can be slowing down the entire sales process. Sometimes the absence of a single feature can be holding back the growth of sales of a product or service line. Look into your company honestly. Look within your boss, your co-workers, and members of your staff to see if there is a key weakness that is holding you or the company back, acting as a brake on the achievement of your key goals. Look into yourself. Successful people always begin the analysis of constraints by asking the question, "What is it in me that is holding me back?" They accept complete responsibility for their lives and look to themselves for both the cause and cure of their problems. In your own life, you must have the honesty to look deeply into yourself for the limiting factor or limiting skill that sets the speed at which you achieve your personal goals. Keep asking, "What sets the speed at which I get the results I want?" Strive for accuracy. The definition of the constraint determines the strategy that you will use to alleviate it. The failure to identify the correct constraint or the identification of the wrong constraint can lead you off in the wrong direction. You can end up solving the wrong problem. A major corporation, a client of mine, was experiencing declining sales. The corporation's leaders concluded that the major constraint was the quality of the sales force and the sales management. They therefore spent an enormous amount of money reorganizing the management and retraining the salespeople. They later found that the primary reason that sales were down was a mistake made by an accountant who had accidentally priced their products too high relative to their competition in the marketplace. Once the corporation revamped its pricing and made it more competitive, its sales went back up and it returned to profitability. Behind every constraint or choke point, once it is located and alleviated or solved successfully, you will find another constraint or limiting factor. Whether you're trying to get to work on time in the morning or build a successful career, there are always limiting factors and bottlenecks that set the speed of your progress. Your job is to find them and to focus your energies on alleviating them as quickly as possible. Starting off your day with the removal of a key bottleneck or constraint fills you with energy and personal power. It propels you into following through and completing the job. Often, alleviating a key constraint or limiting factor is the most important frog you could eat at that moment. Here are two exercises for you. Number one, identify your most important goal in life today. What is it? What one goal, if you achieved it, would have the greatest positive effect on your life? What one career accomplishment would have the greatest positive impact on your work life? Number two, determine the one constraint, internal or external, that sets the speed at which you accomplish this goal. Ask, "Why haven't I reached it already? What is it in me that is holding me back?" Whatever your answers, take action immediately. Do something. Do anything, but get started. Chapter 13. Put the pressure on yourself. Thomas Edison wrote, "The first requisite for success is the ability to apply your physical and mental energies to one problem incessantly without growing weary." The world is full of people who are waiting for someone to come along and motivate them to be the kind of people they wish they could be. The problem is that no one is coming to the rescue. These people are waiting for a bus on a street where no buses pass. If they don't take charge of their lives and put the pressure on themselves, they can end up waiting forever. And that is what most people do. Only about 2% of people can work entirely without supervision. We call these people leaders. This is the kind of person you are meant to be, and that you can be, if you decide to be. To reach your full potential, you must form the habit of putting the pressure on yourself and not waiting for someone else to come along and do it for you. You must choose your own frogs and then make yourself eat them in their order of importance. Lead the field. See yourself as a role model. Raise the bar on yourself. The standards you set for your own work and behavior should be higher than anyone else could set for you. Make a game of starting a little earlier, working a little harder, and staying a little later. Always look for ways to go the extra mile and do more than you are paid for. Your self-esteem has been defined by psychologist Nathaniel Brandon as the reputation you have with yourself. You build up or pull down your reputation with yourself with everything that you do or fail to do. The good news is that you feel better about yourself whenever you push yourself to do your best. You increase your self-esteem whenever you go beyond the point where the average person would normally quit. Create imaginary deadlines. One of the best ways for you to overcome procrastination and get more things done faster is by working as though you only had one day to get your most important jobs done. Imagine each day that you have just received an emergency message and that you will have to leave town tomorrow for a month. If you had to leave town for a month, what would you make absolutely sure that you got done before you left? Whatever your answer, go to work on that task right now. Another way to put pressure on yourself is to imagine that you have just received an all-expenses-paid vacation at a beautiful resort as a prize, but you'll have to leave tomorrow morning on the vacation or it will be given to someone else. What would you be determined to finish before you left so that you could take that vacation? Whatever it is, start on that one job immediately. Successful people continually put the pressure on themselves to perform at high levels. Unsuccessful people have to be instructed and pressured by others. By putting the pressure on yourself, you will accomplish more tasks better and faster than ever. You will become a high-performance, high-achieving personality. You'll feel terrific about yourself, and bit by bit, you will build the habit of rapid task completion that will then go on to serve you all the days of your life. Here are two exercises for you. Number one, set deadlines and sub-deadlines on every task and activity. Create your own forcing system. Raise the bar on yourself and don't let yourself off the hook. Once you set yourself a deadline, stick to it and even try to beat it. Number two, write out every step of a major job or project before you begin. Determine how many minutes and hours you will require to complete each phase. Then race against your own clock. Beat your own deadline. Make it a game and resolve to win. Chapter 14. Motivate yourself into action. The French writer Antoine de Saint-Exupéry wrote, "It is in the compelling zest of high adventure and of victory and of creative action that man finds his supreme joys." To perform at your best, you must become your own personal cheerleader. You must develop a routine of coaching yourself and encouraging yourself to play at the top of your game. Most of your emotions, positive or negative, are determined by how you talk to yourself on a minute-to-minute basis. It is not what happens to you, but the way that you interpret the things that are happening to you that determines how you feel. Your version of events largely determines whether these events motivate or demotivate you, whether they energize or de-energize you. To keep yourself motivated, you must resolve to become a complete optimist. You must decide to respond positively to the words, actions, and reactions of the people and situations around you. You must refuse to let the unavoidable difficulties and setbacks of daily life affect your mood or emotions. Control your inner dialogue. Your level of self-esteem, how much you like and respect yourself, is central to your levels of motivation and persistence. You should talk to yourself positively all the time to boost your self-esteem. Say, "I like myself. I like myself," over and over until you begin to believe it and behave like a person with a high-performance personality. To keep yourself motivated and to overcome feelings of doubt or fear, continually tell yourself, "I can do it. I can do it." When people ask you how you are, always tell them, "I feel terrific. I feel terrific." No matter how you really feel at the moment or what is happening in your life, resolve to remain cheerful and upbeat. As Viktor Frankl wrote in his best-selling book, Man's Search for Meaning, the last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Refuse to complain about your problems. Keep them to yourself. As speaker, humorist Ed Foreman says, you should never share your problems with others, because 80% of people don't care about them anyway, and the other 20% are kind of glad that you've got them in the first place. Develop a positive mental attitude. In Martin Seligman's 22-year study at the University of Pennsylvania, summarized in his book, Learned Optimism, he determined that optimism is the most important quality you can develop for personal and professional success and happiness. Optimistic people seem to be more effective in almost every area of life. It turns out that optimists have 4 special behaviors, all learned through practice and repetition. First, optimists look for the good in every situation. No matter what goes wrong, they always look for something good or beneficial, and not surprisingly, they always seem to find it. Second, optimists always seek the valuable lesson in every setback or difficulty. They believe that difficulties come not to obstruct, but to instruct. They believe that each setback or obstacle contains a valuable lesson that they can learn and grow from, and they are determined to find it. Third, optimists always look for the solution to every problem. Instead of blaming or complaining when things go wrong, they become action-oriented. They ask questions like, "What's the solution? What can we do now? What's the next step?" And fourth, optimists think and talk continually about their goals. They think about what they want and how to get it. They think and talk about the future and where they're going rather than the past and where they came from. They're always looking forward rather than backward. When you continually visualize your goals and ideals and talk to yourself in a positive way, you feel more focused and energized. You feel more confident and creative. You experience a greater sense of control and personal power. And the more positive and motivated you feel, the more eager you will be to get started and the more determined you will be to keep going. Now here are 2 exercises for you. Number 1, control your thoughts. Remember, you become what you think about most of the time. Be sure that you are thinking and talking about the things you want rather than the things that you don't want. Number 2, keep your mind positive by accepting complete responsibility for yourself and for everything that happens to you. Refuse to criticize others, complain, or blame others for anything. Resolve to make progress rather than excuses. Keep your thoughts and your energy focused forward on what you can do right now to improve your life, and let the rest go. Chapter 15. Technology is a terrible master. Mohandas Gandhi said, "There is more to life than just increasing its speed." Technology can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Technology becomes the enemy when we give in to an obsessive need to communicate continually. This compulsion to stay plugged in leaves us all psychologically breathless. We have no time to stop, smell the roses, and collect our thoughts. You have a choice. The key is to keep your relationship with technology under control. Bill Gross, who managed more than $600 billion in fixed income funds and bonds when he was with PIMCO, is famous for exercising regularly and meditating daily to keep centered while using no technology at all. Despite turning off all his devices, he never misses an important message. For you to stay calm, clear-headed, and capable of performing at your best, detach on a regular basis from the technology that overwhelms you. A researcher who asked a group of CEOs and entrepreneurs to unplug from technology found that they had improved memory, deeper relationships, better sleep, and a greater likelihood of making life-transforming decisions. When people are too plugged in, communications technology quickly becomes a destructive addiction. People wake up in the morning and obsessively check all their phone notifications before leaving their beds. They then race to their computers for yet more typing before even eating breakfast, drinking water, or brushing their teeth. People are now checking their smartphones about 46 times each day, according to one study, and about 85 times a day, according to another study, which found that people were accessing their phones twice as often as they thought. Don't become addicted. In Washington not long ago, I was at a business luncheon with a room full of high-level executives. Prior to the beginning of the luncheon, one of the organizers stood up and said a short grace. All the executives bowed their heads. When the grace was over, the luncheon began. However, at my table, four or five of the eight people seemed to have been greatly affected by the prayer. They kept their heads down and their hands on their laps even when the food was served. They seemed to be lost in deep thought over the profound questions of the day talked about in the grace. Then I realized that they were not praying at all. They were all intensely focused on their smartphones, sending and receiving emails, typing like frantic teenagers playing video games. They were all lost to the world around them, drowning in a deep sink full of information exchange. Take back your time. One of my clients found himself bound and chained to his computer, receiving and responding to emails several hours each day. The more time he spent at his computer, the fewer of his other important tasks he was able to get done. The stress caused by these undone tasks, building up like an avalanche overhang, started to affect his personality, his health, and his sleeping habits. We taught him about the 80-20 rule and how it applied to emails. He then deleted and unsubscribed from the 80% of his emails that had little or no value. Of the remaining 20%, only 4% required immediate responses. The other 16% could be transferred to an action folder to be worked on later. Refuse to be a slave. Unchain yourself from your computer. Unsubscribe from all unwanted newsletters or emails of any kind. Set up an autoresponder that says, "I check my email only twice per day. I will reply as soon as possible. If this is an emergency, phone this number." A journalist for Fortune magazine once wrote that when he arrived back at the office after a two-week European vacation, he had more than 700 emails waiting for him. He realized it would take him a week to get through them all before starting on important projects. So for the first time in his life, he took a deep breath and punched the Delete All button, erasing those 700 emails forever. He then got busy with the projects that were really important to him and his company. His explanation was simple. He said, "I realized that just because someone sends me an email, it does not mean that they own a piece of my life. Although not many people would delete their entire inbox, you can definitely delete and ignore more emails than you do right now. Empower yourself to remove all emails that don't relate to important goals and relationships." Someone will tell you, "People often ask me at my seminars, but don't you have to stay plugged into technology to keep current with the news?" I tell them, "If it's really important, someone will tell you." Many people unplug from the news, and surprisingly enough, they remain well-informed on most important subjects. You should do the same. Here are two exercises for you. Number one, resolve today to create zones of silence throughout your day-to-day activities. Turn off your computer and your smartphone for 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the afternoon. You will be amazed at what happens. Nothing.